relevant, and would you make it clear to us? It's in your Son's name I pray. Amen. All right. As you are seated, 2 Corinthians 4. If you've got your Bible, if not, I will read it to you. We're going to be in there for a few minutes. I've got a bunch of verses I want to read to you. But before we get to that, a couple of questions. What do you need in life? What do you need? What? Water. Okay.
Family.
Food. Okay. People. The Lord Jesus. That's the Christian school answer right there. I like it. Let's see. Some people may say, or your first thought probably went to your phone. Although you probably first off said, oh, I need food and water, but how could I order food and water without my phone? So you probably thought such things throughout there. But as we look at what our physical bodies need, yes, we need water. Yes, we need food. Those are things that we absolutely need. But there are a lot of times in life, and you can cut my mic down quite a bit because I'm really loud. As we look at what our lives are and what we need within our spiritual lives, there are a lot of times that we think we need things when we truly don't actually need them. When we feel like we need them, and in fact, we may be told we need them, and I'm not going to be like, the media, or anything like that, but when we're told that we need something. Like, okay, the media, and I'm not going to bash the media, but when I was in Florida, made it seem like I was going to die. Like, there was no option. If I did not leave Florida at that moment, I would die. And in fact, we looked because they made it seem like we would die. So we looked at train tickets, we looked at bus tickets, we looked at planes, we looked at rental vehicles, we looked at any way out of Florida, and they were all booked. So there was no way to get out. And then it ended up just being trees blown over, and that was it. I mean, it was just one of those things that made it seem like what I needed was to get out of Florida to survive. So there are lots of people in life who will tell you you need this, you need that in order to be able to survive, but it's just not true. Paul is going to talk about in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 what we truly need in life. And so I'm going to read the story to you and what he talks about, and then we'll talk about it a little bit amongst ourselves. So chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation or by the production of truth and the growing of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. In other words, they were preaching in such a way that they could look at God's word or they knew what the teachings of Christ were and say that this lines up, a manifestation of it. So Christ said this, and these teachings are an outpouring or a growing of what Christ actually said. Verse 3, but even if our gospel is veiled, in other words, it's hidden, it is veiled to those who are perishing or those who are lost, whose minds the gods of this age have blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. In other words, we're going to serve you to the end of time or to the end of our time because we're bondservant to you for the sake of Jesus. Verse 6, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure, and here's where he kind of gets down to it, in earthen vessels. Okay. This treasure in earthen vessels means in your body, in yourself. You're an earthen vessel. You're living on earth. You're made of earth. That the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Here's what I want us to focus on. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested or shown forth in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he, Jesus, who raised up the Lord Jesus, will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, and that's the key word I want you to focus on, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. So here's what we're seeing Paul say is necessary for him. If you read through in Corinthians and in Acts and in Romans, Paul goes through and talks about how he was shipwrecked, how he was beaten, how he was stoned to death. He was bitten by a snake, I mean like a poisonous snake. He goes through all these different things of things that had happened to him in order for him as he followed Jesus, as he went on doing what Christ had told him to do. So that same person is now writing to the church at Corinth and is saying, listen, we are manifestations, or we are outpouring of truth of Jesus Christ. And I am telling you that there are a couple things you need to focus on in order for you to understand all that you need. The title of the message tonight, it's not going to be on the screen, but the title of the message tonight is All I Have. This began, there's a message that I prepared on the plane back and forth for tonight. And today, God changed that because there was something on my heart today. I was listening to the song, we've sung it down here before, it's All I Want is Jesus, and it talks about all I want is Jesus, and it continues on and talking about nothing can compare, no one else will do, all I want is Jesus. And I had that song in my heart this morning as I was reading my Bible, and it just kind of struck to me, all I have is Jesus. It's truly all I have. Now you'd be like, yeah, right, you got a new house. You got a wife, you got family, you got all those different things. But think about it. All those things can be taken away. Think about the story of Job, who historically has been proven to have lost all the things that it says in the Bible. He loses all of his family, all of his houses, all of his cattle, all of his servants, all in one day. What did he have left? Jesus. Because when there is nothing else in life, there is something else in heaven. And Jesus is all I have. I stand before you tonight and say, you know what? I could lose my wife. I could lose my kids. I could lose my house. I could lose my cars. I could lose this job. I could lose everything that life has to offer. I could lose, but I can never lose Jesus. So he is all I have. Yes, my body needs water and it needs food in order to survive in the world. But I personally need Jesus. He's all I have. I don't care what it is you think that you need to have. What it is that you think in life, if it's money or if it's popularity or if it's the boyfriend or girlfriend you've been wanting or whatever, I don't care what it is that you put in front of it. All you really need to have is Jesus. That's all you need to have. And so he's going to go through here. Paul is going to go through and give us a couple reasons why. Number one is in life, you are going to be hard pressed, but you're not going to be crushed if you have Jesus. Life is going to press on you. Man, some of you have family situations that just press on you. And it's constantly a battle in your mind to not think, is it my fault or does this have something to do with me? And there's this constant pressure of thinking, this bad life event, is it because of me? Or whatever it is in life, am I not popular because I'm stupid? Am I not liked because I'm this? And life hard presses on you. If you don't have Jesus, man, you're crushed. You want to know the reason why so many people not only contemplate but also commit suicide is because they're crushed, man. Because they're struggling mentally, because the weight of this world makes them think there's nowhere else to turn, that there's nothing else to go to, that there's no one else who cares about them. Or they may care about people enough to think in their mind that those people are better off without them because they're a weight that doesn't need to be there. And life hard presses them to get to them a point where they are so crushed that they're willing to take their own life to make it easier on somebody or harder on somebody or whatever the reasoning may be behind it. They will take their own life because they're crushed. If you have Jesus, there should never be a point where you are so hard pressed that you are crushed because you have Jesus. Man, life's going to press on you. I'm not going to be like, oh, everything is just like frolicking through the lily fields, you know, when you have Jesus. It's not. But when you have Jesus, man, you're going to be hard pressed, but you are not going to be crushed. In fact, in Genesis 3:15, if you want to learn your big word for the night, it's called the Proto-Evangelium. It's the first mention of the gospel. And it talks about how the serpent is going to bruise the heel, but Jesus is going to crush the serpent's head. And the idea is that Jesus wasn't going to be crushed. Why? Because he was a picture of what he was doing for us. We would not be crushed. Yeah, our heel is going to be bruised, but in the end, his head gets crushed. We don't, because we have Jesus. We're hard-pressed but not crushed. Number two is perplexed but not in despair. Some of you have come to me with life situations you have questions about and I have no answer. There are some things in life I can't be like, oh yeah, let me just go ahead and point to this chapter and verse that says this. You know, there's some things I just can't answer for you. We are perplexed. There are things in life, I've told you before about losing our first child. There are things that just perplex me that I can't put an actual answer to, but I do not despair. I really don't, because I have Jesus. First off, I know I'm going to see that baby again. I hope it's a good-looking baby. I'm just kidding. But I'm going to see that baby again in heaven someday. Honestly, whenever I pray, about once a week, not that I pray once a week, but about once a week in my prayer time, I will ask Jesus to give that baby a hug. I don't know the baby. I don't know what he or she looks like. I don't know if it's a boy or a girl. I don't know. But I just ask, can you give him or her a hug? Can you give my child a hug and just tell him that daddy loves him even though he never met him? I am looking forward to walking into heaven and having a child I never knew but loved from conception greet me and say, I've been waiting for you. It's been wonderful here. I am perplexed as why Jesus or why God would allow that baby to be taken, but I am not in despair because I'll see him again or her again. As a Christian, as a believer in Jesus, you will be perplexed at life. I was not here for this, but when the Chambers family went through what they went through, it's a perplexing situation. No one looks and goes, oh, here's the reasoning behind it, A, B, C, D. No one does that, okay? Everybody looks and goes, God has a plan, but we don't know what it is. God has a plan. But why is there not despair? Because we'll see him again. Because there's the promise of heaven that he talks about in the end of chapter 4. So we're perplexed, but we're not going to be in despair. Number three is persecuted, but not forsaken. If you sit here and say, you know what, I've never been persecuted for my faith, then I question whether you're acting on your faith. Because Christ actually says, if you live godly, you will suffer persecution. People will say things about you if you don't do what everybody else is doing. Okay? There have been youth pastor meetings, where I have gone to, and everybody else, now we're not going to get on the subject of drinking, but everybody else gets a drink and I don't. And it is curious to them. They're like, why don't you drink? It's not, I don't stand up and say, I do not drink because of this, or anything like that. I don't, okay? But sitting there, they see I am not doing what they are doing, okay? The same thing's going to happen for you in school. As you go to school and you don't do something that everyone else is, they're going to go, why aren't you? Okay? There is going to be persecution because you're going to be different if you're acting on your faith in Jesus Christ. However, you are not forsaken. This may be unchristian of me. Okay? Kaylee, don't tell anybody you heard this from me. But sometimes when somebody does something like, you know, mean, right? If you've ever read through the Psalms, there are Psalms called imprecatory Psalms. What that means is when David says, cast down the wicked man, O God, would you, and I mean, he uses pretty graphic stuff. Would you break their bones as if they're brittle? I mean, like, he prays some imprecatory stuff, like, you know, bad things to happen to these guys. Now, they're bad guys, but I think to myself, maybe I could pray an imprecatory psalm here or there. You know what I'm saying? Like, whenever I get persecuted, maybe like break their bones as if they're brittle. I don't do that. But sometimes in our persecution and when people make fun of you for believing in Jesus, now I'm not talking about just making fun of you because of different things. I'm talking about because of your faith in Jesus, you're not forsaken. God doesn't leave you and go, oh, they burnt you good or anything like that. Jesus is there with you. He doesn't forsake you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And then lastly, with Jesus, the reason that he's all I have is because I can be struck down, but I will not be destroyed. Sometimes life feels like it just knocks you down. Like the moment you get back up on your feet, it just knocks you down again. And you're like, all right, that was bad, but I can get up. And as soon as you get up, wham, you know, you get back down. Have you ever seen, I can't remember the actual specifics of it, but it was like a GIF that like the guy like stands up and he gets hit down and then he just stands up and then hits down and just, it's the little kid with the arm, the little, you know, the little circle arm, you know, that you have to jump over, or you have to duck under and he gets hit and then he stands back up and it whacks him again. He stands back on the way. Sometimes life feels like that. Like just when you're like, okay, it's past, you go poof, and you get whacked down again. Okay. The reason that Jesus is all I have is because sometimes I've been hit and hit and hit and hit and hit and struck down, but I have never been destroyed. I have never been in a position where my life has completely been destroyed. Now, at times I may feel like it. At times I just feel like, man, there's nothing else. Why did this happen? But God has never allowed my life to be destroyed. So what's the main point of Jesus is all you have? The main point is this. Some of you will say it, but you won't live it. Some of you will say that Jesus is all you have and that Jesus is better, one of our house values, our main core house value. They will say that this is the case and that this is who I want to be and all these different things. Now, I'm all about grace. In fact, in that passage, it talks about grace. And grace says that Christ meets you where you are, that you are not going to... You know, I got to tell you this, okay, and then we're done. So the other day, Pastor John and I were talking about adoption, not he and I adopting a kid together, but we were talking about, he wants to, but I won't, no. We were talking about adoption together, and I told him, and we were talking about how sometimes families that are really good families that raise their kids to love Christ have a kid that they've adopted that just turned the complete opposite way of the family. And so we were talking about how this family gives them everything and does everything they can, and they still choose to go down a different path. And I said, but isn't that the beauty of adoption? Like, this kid who would have grown up and probably gone down that path, has the ability to choose whether to go down that path or not because they've been given another opportunity. But either way they choose, they are still loved by a family that adopted them. Do you know that God adopts you? When you put your faith in Jesus Christ in place for your sin, you are an adopted child of God. I don't care what your family life is like. You are a full-on adopted child of God. And it doesn't matter whether you choose to go down that lifestyle or that lifestyle, God's love for you never changes. Now, your benefits and your blessings change a lot if you choose to go down that way instead of following him. But it's not like God's like, oh, they chose to do that again. I guess I don't love them as much today. That's not the case. When God adopted you, he loved you no matter which path you would choose. But he loves you in spite of the path that you choose. Adoption is a wonderful thing because it's a picture of grace. You know that adopted child, and I'm just gonna use the commercials we all see. You know, in the arms of an angel. That's a dog one. But anyways, as you see the Somalian children, and I'm not trying to make fun of the commercials, but you see them, and there's like flies like on their eyes and stuff like that, like flying around and everything. I'm like, how do you pose the poor kid for that? Like, you know, can we get flies over here? Somebody dump some fly, you know, the poor kid. Anyways, like all these cameramen probably have like hundreds in their watch. They're like, look poor. Thanks, we're going to fly on out, you know. But anyways, they film these commercials, and they're like, this person needs you, and they need adoption, and they need these different types of things. And you look at the lifestyle that they're in and what they have, and this family comes along and says, you know what, they're in that orphanage, they're wherever, foster care, wherever, and I am going to adopt them. Not because they deserve it, because they don't. No one inherently deserves anything. But because I love them and I want to be a picture of grace to them, something they don't deserve, I'm going to give it to them. That's adoption. So when Jesus adopted us, that's why I can say that he's all I have. He is my heavenly father who adopted me. Whether my dad loves me or not, my earthly father doesn't matter. I have a heavenly father who adopted me and loves me no matter what. It doesn't matter if I have the greatest relationship with my wife or not. Now I will work towards that end. But if I do or not, doesn't matter because I have a heavenly father who loves me in spite of my circumstances. I can sin and I can fall down and I can do stupid things and Christ still says, I love you in the muck. I love you in the dirt. I love you in the swamp that you're waddling in right now. I still love you in spite of everything that you're doing. That's why Jesus is all I have. You can take everything away from me, but you cannot take Jesus away from me. You can threaten my family, you can threaten my job, you can do all this, and you can in fact take all those things away, but you will never take Jesus away from me, and that is why Jesus is all I have. And I'm standing before you here today to say to live in that way is so worth it. I know you think it's not. I know you're like, oh yeah, amen, brother, this is great, preach the word. But in your mind, you're thinking, it's not for me. Like, I'm going to go do the same things I do all the time. I'm going to go live the same life I am going to do all the time. And I'm telling you, God's going to love you in spite of no matter what you do, God's going to love you. It's not like you're going to, you know, anger God and he's not going to love you anymore. He will love you in spite of it. But man, I can tell you, living in such a way that Jesus is all you have and showing that to others is so, so worth it. I promise you it is. So I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to challenge you tonight. Yes, Jesus is all you have, but live in such a way that Jesus is all you have. Why? Because when there is nothing else in life, when you die, and if you've accepted Jesus Christ, you go to heaven, Jesus is no longer all you have. He is everything. There is no more being perplexed. There is no more being hard-pressed. There is no more of those things. You live now for what you will have later. Jesus is all you have, so live like it. Man, change your schools. Turn them upside down because they see teenagers who live in such a way that they prove Jesus is all they have. Father, I'm grateful for tonight. I'm thankful for the students that we have here. I pray for those who aren't here tonight. Lord, I can think of a large chunk of names right off the bat that aren't here. Lord, and whatever they're doing, whatever their situation is, I pray that, Lord, if it was just a conscious decision just not to come, I pray that you would change that in their mind for next week. Lord, not because I'm special, not because even really this room is special or anything, but because we want to honor you, we want to worship you, we want to glorify you, we want to preach you. It is him we preach. So Father, I pray that tonight you would convict those who aren't here to be back just so that they can live in such a way where they prove to others that you are all that they have. God, I'm thankful that in the times I have felt hard-pressed, in the times I've felt persecuted, in the times I've felt all these things perplexed and all that, that God, you have never forsaken me. You have never allowed me to be crushed. You've never allowed me to be destroyed. You've always been there as a loving father, an adopted child of God is what I am, and I will always live in such a way to prove that you're all I have. I love you, and I pray that you'd help us to be a group that does the same. My prayer. Amen.